One of the most misunderstood things, in my opinion, is the role of entrepreneurship in a community. And I think one of the reasons that we misunderstand what role entrepreneurship is meant to play in a community is particularly because we've become so individualistic. And when human beings grow in number, it's much like, I don't know, maybe I can use this in the ocean. Like when you have a little small pond and you have some fish in there, you can care for every individual fish. It's easy. You name them. You even name the fish. And then you start moving to a river, a dam. You start moving to bigger bodies of water. The less you care about the individual fish, you don't name them because you don't even know where they are at any given time, right? And I think that's what's happened to us. And then you get to a point where it's an entire ocean and you care even less. You're probably going to name that one that has a mark, you know. You know how they do in these National Geographic videos where they'll name one or two, some African name, and then they'll follow it around. It's coming out to eat. It's very fearsome. This is Kumba.
Kumba. Wow.
You know, this is usually what they do. But now the point I'm trying to make is that for human beings, the more we grow in number, the less compelled we feel to care about one another. Because initially, entrepreneurship actually was meant to serve, right? So we build businesses to enrich ourselves as individuals in the modern world. People in the past understood that a business serves its community. It's not, that's not its sole purpose. However, it does exist to serve. This is why businesses are given rules like, you know, that's why they're taxed. That's why you cannot price your items in such a way that's unrealistic for the people around you. That's why there's so many rules and laws that regulate them as well. And in terms of what people, they can't just kick you out of a business that exists publicly. But those are like minor things that I can use. But the point I'm trying to drive home is this. Businesses exist as a relationship between its customers and itself. So it's a relationship between me as the buyer and you as the seller. So imagine if you and I were the only people existing and you had a business and I was your only customer. There's a relationship that exists there. And just like any other relationship, if you have much power, too much more power than I have, you will eventually abuse me. And if I have more power than you do as a customer, meaning you, I'm the only customer and I can buy from many people, then you're not much of an option of, you know, I can abuse you and say, lower your price or I go to person, right? There's a lot of dynamics when it comes to entrepreneurship, business, and the people that that business serves. It's how I generally think of a lot of things. Like when there is competition within an industry I care about, I'm very happy and excited. The more competition there is, the better. So for example, Huawei, I don't know if you saw, just came out with Harmony OS on a laptop for the first time. Not running Windows, not running Linux, not running Apple, which is their Mac OS, I believe it's called. It probably has a different name now. But yeah, it's not running any of those, but they're entering into the space. They also have Harmony OS on their cell phone, smartphones, which is creating competition. And that's better for us. But what we're talking about today is the idea of businesses giving. Right. I wanted to preface it with this idea of us understanding that businesses exist as a relationship between the business and the people that it serves. You can go into business thinking about yourself only and the fact that I want to make myself rich. I come from poverty and I understand where that comes from. But you can also go into business with the understanding that I'm here to serve a bigger purpose. You know, for example, one of the industries that really, really inspire me, it's open source software, VLC. VLC has owners who choose to provide it for free. Wow. Right? There's a lot of other software like that. Like, for example, the one we're recording now on Audacity, right? Audacity is a free audio recording software. I wouldn't use DaVinci, even though it does have a free version, but it belongs to a for-profit company. But that's a bit of an example because they understand that if we empower these people, there's many other open source software that I use, like some for budgeting, some for, there's some for designing, some for, you know, even running your business. There's a lot of open source software, but I love those because they exist for the sole purpose of giving back. Nice. But let's talk about the dynamic of a business that is built for profit, having to balance the idea of do you, number one, do you give according to what the government says you should give for the tax benefits, or do you give according to what the Bible how the Bible says you should give? Freely as you've received, freely give. There's a hard balance to strike there. And I want to hear your views, Danny.
Can I run out the studio? Oh, man. I think for me, given the way I've done things has always been to consider my faith first. A lot of people are in business and they depend on their business for survival.
Yeah.
We made a decision with my business partner, who also happens to be my wife, that our business depends on the Lord. You know, so we always use the biblical principle of giving as a primary way of serving our community and giving back. And you know, what's been interesting is we don't just tithe, because whenever you speak giving, people always think of tithing. But man, we let the Lord lead us and guide us. And you know, and sometimes it's been, you know, you'll find out someone's in hospital and maybe they've had an operation and you know, it costs them an amount that they honestly would not be able to afford. And the Lord will just lead us to say, you know, pay it, you know. And when I'm saying that, you might think, oh, did you pay it out from a place of abundance? Sometimes it's literally what we have left, you know. And we will just trust the Lord and do what he says. And then he'll open another door for more finances to keep coming into the business. You know, so I really believe if you are a believer and you've had the opportunity to walk with the Lord. Now, that preface that I'm putting there is very important, because you shouldn't allow people to take advantage of your Christianity and now you're going to be irresponsible financially with the business in order for you to feel like you're giving back to the community. You know, and I've seen people do that. It does not work. A business, when you're called into business, you're being called into kingship. You know, and Jesus himself is described as a king and a priest. You know, now, a king has to know how to use taxes, while the priest knows how to give back to the community. Now, a lot of us, when
we use taxes.
Yes.
Okay.
So let me make it more specific.
All right.
When we're giving our money to our government, their aim is they have to create jobs. They have to make sure it comes back into infrastructure and things like that. Meanwhile, when we give money to the priest has a job to go and feed the poor and all of that. They're not investing back into the country.
Okay.
So if the king decides to use the monies like a priest, we're going to have problems. The potholes will not disappear. You understand? The infrastructure will collapse. And the Lord will hold him responsible as a king. Because you were meant to use those finances to build and put infrastructure and help the community in a different way. Create jobs.
Exactly.
Now, if you take the job, the money for creating jobs, and you give it to the people to eat, the poor will eat, but you fail to create jobs.
Exactly.
So the economy will suffer.
Yeah.
You know? Yet at the same time, when we say, okay, give back as a priest. Now, you are just going, you are feeding those who don't have. You're finding the homeless. You're finding the fatherless. You're finding those who are in difficult situation, and you're giving it back to them without any expectation that they're going to do something in return. So I find those two are two different ways of giving back as a business, and they are also both very important.
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective. And I think it also just sells. We were last week having the conversation about giving responsibly.
Yes.
Right. And I think that ties into that, right? The fact that in your giving, first of all, you do need to give responsibly and understand that there is the element of it that creating jobs is just as important as giving to those who are hungry and who don't have the jobs.
Yes.
But I also love the analogy from the perspective of if you are a young person building a business, and I know I'm guilty of this, I have to say it, right? I know I may sound like, based on the argument I'm making, I may sound like someone who's building a business solely for the purpose of giving and serve. I'm selfish. I want to see my child go to a private school. I literally see myself living in a big house, making burgers whenever I want, traveling and, you know, living comfortably and driving a car that I feel comfortable in.
Making burgers whenever you want.
Burgers are a big part of my life. Like, I really have to say, I'm the kind of person who will fly to Paris just to taste a burger that they said is brilliant.
Oh, my.
Fly goodness. There for a weekend and fly back home and tell you about how good that burger was. I am a huge burger fanatic. Like, my favorite places to have burgers are Tiger's Milk.
Yeah.
I love Rockamamas. I know those burger qualities are completely different, but I love Rockamamas. If you want to spoil me end of the month, take me to Rockamamas. I love Tiger's Milk. I love Hog's Head was also a place that I enjoyed at some point, but not so much. Not that I don't enjoy it. I just don't go there as often anymore. Which other place just really?
There's a place in Roodepoort.
Yeah?
That my wife took me to. I'm trying to pull up their name for you. We did like a viral food tape. Tasting weekend for my birthday.
Ah, nice.
Given, man, I've had burgers in my life, but that burger, I haven't said to her, I'm like, look, I think let's just cancel all the other places we're meant to go to and come back. But I'll give you the name. Is it over here? Yeah, but I hear you, given that they are just burger places that stand out from others.
Absolutely. So, like I'm saying, I am a very, very selfish person, right? And for me, I've realized that as a result, just like how most of us have a disposition or we're inclined to relax, like we're inclined to be couch potatoes, you actually have to put an effort in getting yourself to walk, to control your portions, to go to gym, you know, to have some kind of a diet or be mindful of not overeating.
Yes.
Most of us have to put a little bit of an effort. I mean, some of us have done it so much that it's become routine now.
Yes.
But for the most part,
it didn't start as routine.
Right. For the most part, human beings were inclined to be selfish. So then you have to put an effort to always remind yourself, you know what? Hey, I need to think about the world. I need to think about what's going to happen to that 60% of men and women who don't have jobs. I need to be considerate of them. I need to consider, you know, as I'm building my business, how can I, you know, there's a guy called Simon Sinek who wrote a book called Why. I think the book is literally What's Your Why? I can't remember what it's titled, but the book is essentially about what is your reason for doing the thing that you're doing. Right. And there's an interesting thing that he talks about, where he talks about a finite game and an infinite game, that there are companies that fool themselves into thinking that they're playing a finite game. And whereas every single company that exists needs to understand that they're in an infinite game. It completely shifts your mindset. And the difference is this: when you're running a race, you're running to reach a finish line.
Yes.
But there are businesses that have outlived their founders.
Wow.
When you understand that you're running a race that spans through time into that length, where it will outlive some of the people that were present in its day one, then you build differently. Right? You build with your great grandchildren in mind. Right? You build. So this is why it's so important for us to have that shift of mindset, where as part of our why, regardless of what's happening in our community, we need to have that in mind that I can't save everyone. That's a very important thing to keep in mind. You can't save everyone.
Yeah.
But as part of my responsibility as a future business owner, now I want to ask you a very difficult question after saying this. As part of my why, as a business owner, as a person who's building a business, I need to make it a very important objective for me to give back. And I know this give back term has been overused and sometimes loses its meaning. Like, what exactly do you mean I must give back? You know, go back to your township and build a center that trains young people and gives them skills, as an example, right? Go back and find ways in which you can have young people that are doing nothing be productive there, you know, build them a gym or whatever resonates with you. Some people will do things that I wouldn't necessarily think add the most value, but they're doing something that adds value nonetheless.
Yes.
For me, I believe in sustainable things. I believe in building a farm that the people can work on, you know, and actually that will keep producing for them. Building a center that will keep producing skills. I've even been converted now into being a person who truly believes in giving cash. I've spoken on the show before about an organization called Give Directly.
Okay.
They give in a lot of countries, and one of them being Congo. They are a Western-based organization called Give Directly that believes in giving people in need money directly.
Wow.
Letting them decide what to do with it. And there's all the people who are going to say, what about the ones who are going to buy drugs? What about the ones who are going to do this? Regardless of what you give, people will find a way of doing a bad thing with it. You can give someone glue and they can smoke it. Glue. Glue.
Print. That is so hilarious.
You understand what I mean? You can literally give someone something as harmless as glue that's meant to stick things, and it'll find a way to do something bad with it, right? Even a kid's toy. So it is important for us to understand that we cannot control the fact that we can't make decisions based on the minority that's going to do bad things.
Yes.
We do need to think of the mom who's going to take her 5 kids to school and figure out a way of taking care of her sister's kids.
Yes.
You know, and all of those kids, then all 10 of them growing up to be something big and making something of themselves and therefore creating a better world in future. Tell me what you're thinking now, Danny.
Wow, you've actually taken me, I left the studio for a minute, and I'm just seeing the importance of doing at least something, you know. A lot of people will criticize how it should be done. They'll have opinions on when and where and, you know, what can go wrong, and they can use all of that to never do anything.
At all.
At all.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, let's stop looking at how other people are doing it, and you start giving back. You know, and you saying you found a place that gives money directly and you contributing there.
Yeah.
I think that's how it should be. When we talk, it's so easy to be negative given. And I've seen this a lot, especially in our country recently in South Africa. We have like a way of finding what is wrong with anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you give and you took a picture of your giving, oh man, were you just giving to take the picture?
Ah, I see. You know? Yeah.
And we won't just say, look, at least the person is giving.
Exactly.
You know, we're so critical. But I bet you those who criticize tend to not be doing anything. Oof. Those who criticize are like the guy sitting not even at the soccer field where you've paid for the ticket to view and created a job. No, you are sitting at home on the couch. You can't even run a mile, you know, but you have nothing kind to say about those who are running, you know, those who are playing on the field. So I'm sitting here and I'm saying, guys, let's do what we can. Maybe all you can do is feed one person.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to tell you, no, do this. Go and feed that one person.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a family next door to you and, you know, the father's lost their job. And yes, you can't pay all their utilities and all of that. Okay, that's fine. Can you make sure that at least one day in a week, they will have a good meal that comes from you and you're going to cook it with love? And maybe you can't cook. And hey, you can go and buy at the McDonald's. And someone will say, ah, it's unhealthy. Hey, that's what you can afford.
Yes.
You know, so please, let's do the little thing that we can do. And let's just stop criticizing for a moment.
Yeah, yeah. Oof, this has been an incredible conversation. And I love that this has been the theme for the month. And of course, we still have one more round of it next week. So definitely do come and join us so we can continue just wrapping up this conversation about young people giving in all aspects of life and challenging yourself. Like, what does giving mean to you? And do you understand what giving means to the person that you're doing it to?